get to the bottom of what's truly healthy in this crazy, complex world. So you can take back what is rightfully yours. Welcome to the Health Sovereign Podcast. This is your host, Logan Christopher.
Hey, welcome back. We're going to be talking about medical journals and pharma advertising in this episode, covering medical monopoly musings number 54. I've touched on this topic before, but I don't think I've dove deep in it, and I feel it's important to do so. When it comes to advertising, most people just ignore them, right? That doesn't mean it's not working to some degree, but more important than that is the influence that spending sometimes massive amounts of money can get you. And that's what we're really looking at behind this. You know, I spend a good amount of time on PubMed, whether I'm researching herbs or whatever other topic out there. All this research gets published in journals, and these journals have been around a long, long time. There's prestigious journals like the New England Journal of Medicine or JAMA, and they're kind of the gatekeepers for scientific knowledge and information. So if we see that indeed there is a publication bias, there's all sorts of factors that are play into the roles here. So it's important to understand this, because this is how medical research is done. So let's dive into it. Medical journals and pharma advertising. As much as lay people are advertised to in the direct-to-consumer advertising recently covered, it's only a fraction of the marketing that is done. Most of it is aimed at doctors. They are really the pawns in the game. Because of their authoritarian position, if you can influence them, you can influence the masses. In 2016, direct-to-consumer advertising was $9.6 billion. Meanwhile, $20.3 billion was aimed at healthcare professions. A large portion of that is the journals, the topic of today. Richard Smith, former editor of BMJ, wrote, "Many medical journals have a substantial income from pharmaceutical companies, from the purchasing of advertising and reprints and the sponsoring of supplements. Is this funding corrupting journals?" Furthermore, he shares, "One of my first experiences of the relation between medical journals and pharmaceutical companies occurred in the early 1980s, after the BMJ had published papers suggesting that a new non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, benexoprofen, might have serious side effects. We were visited by three stern men from Eli Lilly, the makers of the drug. Tony Smith, the deputy editor, conducted the meeting and asked me to join him. The men, who I remember, probably wrongly as having gold teeth, threatened us with legal action, at which point Tony said, 'In that case, we'll see you in court.' They backtracked hastily and simply asked to be able to publish a prompt response. Full court press using every tactic available to them." Richard shares the following important points. The journals are typically free for doctors. The journal's livelihood depends on income from pharmaceutical advertising. The advertising is often misleading. Editorial coverage is more valuable than the ads. Often the advertising income influences editorial coverage. Scientific studies can be manipulated in many ways to get desired outcomes. In addition to advertising, medical journals get income from supplements and reprints paid for by drug companies, i.e. publish this and will promise to buy 10,000 issues. And the drug advertisements have been shown to affect prescribing by doctors. Like the TV ads, so too does this form of advertising work. Smith writes, "In one sense, all journals are bought, or at least cleverly used, by the pharmaceutical industry. The industry dominates healthcare, and most doctors have been wined and dined by it. It's not surprising, therefore, that medical journals too should be heavily influenced by industry." And once again, the influence on the journals themselves may be the more important part of paying the bills. In an article titled, "Advertising in Medical Journals, Should Current Practices Change?" Fu Berman et al. Write, "Clinicians rely on medical journals for scholarly articles and the latest information on drugs and devices. Advertisements in these journals are unreliable sources of information, since they quote-unquote educate physicians to prescribe the newest, most expensive drugs, which may not be any superior to existing, less expensive alternatives. The scholarly nature of journals confers credibility on both articles and advertisements within their pages. By exclusively featuring advertisements for drugs and devices, medical journals implicitly endorse corporate promotion of the most profitable products. Advertisements and other financial arrangements with pharmaceutical companies compromise the objectivity of journals. The problem of journals is well described. Many top editors of the top journals themselves, such as Richard Smith, Marcia Engel, see number 27, and others have stated as such. Why are we still trusting anything in them? And that concludes the issue. So think about this, medicine, right? And the only advertisements that are in these medical journals are for medical devices and pharmaceutical products. So is it any wonder that the majority of our healthcare has to do with medical devices and pharmaceutical products? You don't see vitamins or minerals advertising in medical journals. You don't see herbal supplements in there. You don't see energy medicine or chiropractic. So this is part of the system. This is part of the game that is played. These advertisements do change doctors' prescribing patterns. Some of them, of course, not all. I'm sure there are many doctors out there that ignore these journals for the most part. But in addition, it is the influence they get with them. So the doctors that ignore the advertisements, but they're looking for editorial that's in there. They're looking for studies and information about drugs because they actually want to help people. If that coverage is being altered based on the money that is coming in, then that is a problem. This is what we see with journalism and television stations, right? All that money coming in from the pharmaceutical advertising changes the editorial coverage. The threat of pulling that advertising money can oftentimes get something changed. Let's say there's an editorial that's going to talk bad about something. Well, maybe they can make it more neutral just by it. Once again, small changes here and there can lead to big gains over time. And that's why we find ourselves in the system. I've talked a little bit about my chessboard analogy and still thinking through that. But in this issue, I talk about the doctors as pawns. And it's interesting because doctors have such this position of authority within our society. In some cases, justifiably so. I mean, they go through massive schooling, they know stuff about the body, but that is actually part of the problem because we have abdicated our health to doctors. If doctors are influenced as such, then their influence is going to occur on us, and that is why we find ourselves in many problems such as this. Health Sovereign Podcast, you cannot abdicate your control like this. If you understand that doctors, even the most well-intentioned doctors, they are being advertised to, they are being marketed to, they are being propagandized, they are being indoctrinated more so than even the average person according to this medical system. And once again, medical system absolutely has some great things to it, but we have to understand its proper place and we need to get the other stuff that also has great things to it more heavily involved. So understand that this is the science of the medical journals and how it is influenced by Big Pharma and others. Medical device companies as well. Haven't really dove into that topic, but we see the same kind of shenanigans playing out there as well. Unnecessary surgeries with devices and all kinds of stuff. So it's just crazy. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, stay tuned. We got a whole bunch more coming, and I'm really liking where we're going with this Medical Monopoly series. I hope you're enjoying it. Do give me some feedback. Do let me know if you want to see more interviews on this show. I've been doing a lot of solo episodes lately. I'm going to be mixing and matching it moving forward, but I feel this is important stuff. I am enjoying digging it up myself and then sharing it with you, and I tend to get good feedback from doing so. So head on over to healthsovereign.com, leave a comment, reviews on iTunes or wherever you listen to this is much appreciated. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week. How Big Tobacco Won. I'm trying something new here that I've never done before. For the past year or so, I've gotten into the citizen journalism game, specifically around exposing corruption, most notably in the health and medical space. Since our media isn't doing it, someone's got to. To spend time here takes away from time devoted to my businesses, which I still need to do to pay the bills. With my recent positive experience in using GoFundMe after my house burned down, the idea occurred to me to try this method out. If you'd enjoyed my journalistic endeavors, medical monopoly musings, pandemic updates, or my writing in general, then this is an opportunity to support me in doing more of it. At this time, I feel like it's the most important work to be done, but as I said, while this endeavor is passionate, it has not been profitable. I want to create the following special report. I will be giving it away for free when it is done, but this is a chance to support this work so I can spend less time in my businesses specifically and more so here. How Big Tobacco Won: Important Lessons for Today in Corporate Power Over Law, Science, Media, and Culture. Those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. We've all heard this phrase, but as it's become somewhat cliche, few really aim to understand history, especially what I would call its seedy underbelly. Everyone I know is vaguely aware of what Big Tobacco did in peddling cigarettes, vaguely being the key word. Ask yourself, how did they get away with being hugely profitable for decades and decades when science was actually quite clear about these risks? Although many think that Big Tobacco eventually lost, I think it is more accurate to say that they won instead. The fact is, all these companies are still around and hugely profitable. I'd say that is winning, especially given the unethical behavior and crimes they committed. I would also argue you must understand the details. Why? Not because you'll get tricked by Big Tobacco in the future, but because these same strategies and tactics are used by industry after industry. Many industries are successfully using them today, and most people are none the wiser. They haven't learned this history. But some did. The PR firms that Big Tobacco worked with learned. The predatory CEOs that put profits over people learned. Those that would control scientific opinion learned. Those that would buy politicians and regulators learned. Lawyers learned. Although they manipulated public perception for decades before, we can say the conspiracy really began to turn darker in 1953 when the tobacco companies colluded seeking to control scientific opinion. It wasn't until 2004, over 50 years later, that they were charged and found guilty of these crimes. 50 years. But some believe conspiracies don't ever actually happen. This was a racketeer and corrupt organizations, aka RICO case, which means conspiracy by a group. Not only must you understand what has become known as the tobacco playbook, but you need to find out how this was brought into the 21st century, right as Big Tobacco was finally falling from grace. Still, you cannot understand how it is being done today if you don't understand the genesis of these methods as pioneered by Big Tobacco. The truth is that tobacco is simpler than what has gone on in other industries for a variety of factors that I plan to explore. In addition to the written PDF form, I'll be reading this aloud and posting it to the Health Sovereign podcast. I don't know how long it will be in its final form, and I don't have a specific due date, just a vague idea that the more money I raise, the faster and better I'll engage in this project. If you'd like to support my endeavors to expose these corrupting strategies, then here's your chance. Head on over to healthsovereign.com/tobacco, and you'll be taken to the GoFundMe page where you can chip in whatever you feel is appropriate, whatever you can do. No pressure, but for those that can and want to, this is available for you. Once again, that's healthsovereign.com/tobacco.